When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution, Politics and Policy, and the Goodfellas, Master of Ceremonies. But right now we turn to his column about California, because the legislature, working with the governor of California, has passed money, real money, to Trump-proof California, a mysterious terminology. So, Bill, a very good evening to you. Trump-proofing California. I'm going to guess this is more than sanctuary. What does a Trump-proof legislature do? How does it approach it? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. So basically, the legislature approaches it by writing a check to the California Department of Justice for $25 million as kind of a down payment to pay the cost of litigation to come. And what does litigation in California means? Well, you should probably go back and look at what happened with the first Trump administration when then Attorney General Javier Becerra, who is now the federal health secretary, he filed, John, I think something like 122 separate lawsuits against Donald Trump. A different lawfare waged against Trump back then. So it's just going after him on about every imaginable policy that the Democrats in California think is injurious to the Golden State they think Trump is doing. So we'll wait and see. And that's one of the questions with Trump 2.0. It's not just so much has Trump changed, but well, has California's attitude towards Trump changed at all? Is California, dare I say, going to be a little mellow?
Where is the vulnerability? California is a very powerful state, very rich state. It's all in one direction for partisanship, or are there factions here? Are there non-Trump-proofing in the legislature?
Yeah, there are factions here, John, which is interesting. If you look at the election, good night in California for Democrats. They went at the top of the ticket. Kamala wins her race comfortably. Adam Schiff is elected to the Senate comfortably. They managed to flip three House seats. But you go further down the ticket, there's a little problem because the Democrats actually surrendered a few legislative seats. They're not in trouble in terms of power in Sacramento, John. They still have a healthy supermajority. But they started losing races that they're not used to losing. They lost one down in Southern California where there's about a plus 14 Democratic advantage. And the story here is that Trump, as he did in other states, made inroads in the Latino community. So you actually have some Democrats who are thinking at this hour, you know, is doing something really symbolic, which is what a $25 million check is symbolic, given the state budget's, what, $300 million. Should we be engaging in symbolism right now? Or should we be paying a little closer attention to the message voters sent, which is that, look, we want problems in California solved. Homelessness, crime, cost of living, inflation. It's not a good time for symbolism. So that's kind of the uneasiness within the majority.
Then we come to what are the vulnerabilities? They're lowering up, I understand. They're anticipating something is going to happen, violence. Is this about immigration? Is that what lowering up is all about?
Immigration is a little piece of the puzzle, and this is going to be a real fascinating question about federalism. If local communities, San Diego, for example, the other day passed really strict sanctuary laws. Conversely, Los Angeles passed really strict sanctuary laws in the aftermath of the Trump victory. And then a couple weeks after that, John, they sort of eased back on it and said, well, we're not going to draw the line so much on criminals. And not a coincidence in that county, their DA was kicked to the curb for being soft on crime. I think it's mostly just about if Trump wants to do things regarding abortion, if he wants to do things regarding the environment, if he wants to do things regarding high-speed rail, we're going to push back. And keep in mind, if you are a kind of wary progressive in Sacramento right now, You see this coming from a couple directions. Number one is you're concerned about it coming from Trump himself, as he doesn't care much for California. Many scraps he's got into with Newsom. And somebody really living fair right now is probably Elon Musk, who we know his partner in Doge, Vivek Ramaswamy, has said in no uncertain terms that he doesn't like high-speed rail. So I think if you're a lawmaker sitting back in Sacramento, you're just afraid of how the Doge effort's going to land in California.
I see. I understand it when it's about money. Now, there's another concern that you write in your column. This is virtue and urgency. Yeah. The question is, if California is taking the lead on this, who's following?
Yeah, I mean, this is what caught my eye here when I first saw that Newsom wanted to do it. And the way it works in California, our listeners should know, the governor issues a proclamation calling on the legislature to hold a special session. And the language in that proclamation is very specific as to what they deal with, because you don't want to put them in there and give them free rein to address anything. And that's one of the dramas going on in Sacramento right now. Lawmakers want to do more than the $25 million check, and the governor is trying to curb them in on that. But once this happened, John, I started thinking, okay, how many other states are doing this as well? Other states in particular, John, who have governors who are, shall we say, aspirational, thinking about 2028. Two states caught my eye. One was Vermont. Vermont, which actually voted stronger for Kamala Harris than did California, oddly enough. Vermont has chosen lawyer up here. And then you look at the great state of New York, your New York, which has plenty of beef with Donald Trump, this being his former state. And lawmakers there actually considered doing a special session, John, and then they backed off. And I saw a quote from one lawmaker saying, eh, we're coming back in January, so it can wait. And that's part of kind of the comical nature of what California is doing. This great urgency to write a $25 million check to the Department of Justice, John. When lawmakers come back for their regular session on January 6th of next year, if they're that obsessed about Donald Trump, John, that gives them 2 weeks to write a $25 million check. I think that could be done.
This looks like good politics, but I'm not sure. It's making California the bastion of the resistance. Is that on purpose? Does that suit Gavin Newsom?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Gavin Newsom ran for governor the first time in 2018. He is now halfway through his second and final term because he's term limited. The New Yorker ran this very long, very flattering piece on him, and the headline was literally Gavin Newsom, the new head of the resistance. Newsom the other day, John, bristled at the idea of the resistance, said he's never used the word. I think the governor needs to go back and check it. He has used it in the past. But this gets into the question of the long game for Democrats here, John, in 2028. How are they going to position themselves vis-a-vis Trump and how they see what's wrong with their party? When Newsom announced a special session here in California, there was a very pointed tweet put out by the mayor of San Jose, a gentleman named Matt Meehan. He and Newsom have been at odds in the past over issues like homeless encampments and crime. But Meehan said that, you know, look, there are bigger problems in California. We should be dealing with homelessness. The cost of everything, gasoline and so forth. And that's going to kind of reflect, I think, what Democrats are thinking about in 2028. There's not really consensus within that party as to what went wrong with Kamala Harris. A lot of different theories, but there's no kind of consensus opinion. But I would say, looking at the polls, very simply, the Democrats got beat up very badly on the economy. They got beat up on immigration. They got beat up on crime. In other words, they need to be thinking about matters that really kind of directly impact people rather than engaging in symbolic gestures. But yet here is Governor Newsom going out his way to do a symbolic gesture. Maybe that's how he sees his path to greater things.
You brought my attention to the fact that the vote may indicate that there are going to be weaknesses developing in California. I'm thinking of the vote by people who speak Spanish as a natural language. Is that worry the legislature, that there were votes for Trump that didn't exist before?
They should be worried about that. Now, it's not going to change statewide elections necessarily. Democrats still have a 2-to-1 advantage, but it's going to impact at lower levels, John, and it also could impact in initiative fights. This is the thing I'd be looking at if I'm legislature. Proposition 36, which we've talked about on this show, the anti-crime initiative.
Right.
It barely passed, John. It passed by almost 70%. It passed in every county in California, John. I mean, this was just vox populi at its purest. And that was something that was done to circumvent the legislature, done against the legislature's expressed will. But this is voters saying we've had enough. So I'd be very concerned as a lawmaker with the message sent in that election, that people are willing to stand up to the things you are doing in Sacramento. And if I were a conservative in California and be thinking about ways I could affect change, that's what I'd be looking at, John. I'd be looking straight to the initiative slate.
Bill Whalen, Hoover Institution, Trump-proofing California. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.